This is Pastor Emery with broadcast number 3 on the Bible and Arms. We are trying to answer from the Bible, are Christians authorized by their God to use arms in defense of their lives and their property? I will begin today's broadcast with my closing words of last week, made after our discussion of the command by Jesus Christ that when a Christian is struck on one cheek, he is to turn the other. Here it is, quote, "The communists are not striking us on the cheek, and neither are the murderers and rapists among us. They are killing our people, and we are authorized by the holy word of God to defend our homes and our families with the sword." In the modern sense, that would authorize Christians to use guns or other weapons for self-defense, end of quote, and now perhaps I'll be expected to defend that statement. Stay tuned. Thank you. Some of you folks were surprised to learn that Jesus Christ instructed his disciples to buy swords before they went on their mission of the gospel. If you missed that last week, that is in the 22nd chapter of Luke. Today we are going to read from both the Old Testament and the New in our quest for Bible truth for Christians about self-defense. Let's read a little more of Jesus on this subject before we go to the Old Testament. Turn with me to Luke 11, and we will find that the God of glory, the Redeemer of our souls, the blessed one who has promised us everlasting life in his kingdom, actually warned his listeners of the dangers of not having weapons to defend your life and your property. Luke 11, let's read verse 1 first. "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Then Jesus gave a version of what we call the Lord's Prayer. I read that verse to establish that Jesus, here in Luke 11, was speaking to his disciples, so that whatever instructions or wisdom we find here must have been directed to those who follow him and believe in him. If you follow Jesus and believe in him today, then the words of Jesus in Luke 11 are for you, whether you ever heard them before or not. Now let's go down to verse 21 and 22 of Luke 11. "When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But," and remember, Jesus is teaching this to his disciples, "but when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils." In the King James Version, it uses the term palace, so you might think this applies only to rich people. However, the New American Standard translates that, "when a strong man armed keeps his own homestead." Then it says, "when he is overpowered, he loses his armor." You may have an amplified Bible. Listen to how it puts these two verses. "When the strong man, fully armed, guards his own dwelling, his belongings are undisturbed, his property is at peace. But when a stronger than he attacks him and conquers him, he robs him of his whole armor on which he relied, and divides up and distributes all his goods as plunder." End of passage. That isn't too hard to understand. Jesus simply said that when a strong man was armed, his goods or his property were secure. But when a stronger man disarmed him, the one who did the disarming then could spoil or steal his goods. You know Jesus Christ did teach a lot about the kingdom, and he warned men to repent and to obey the commandments of God that they might enter into that kingdom. But so many people are so caught up in thinking only of life after death that they just do not pay attention to Jesus Christ, God incarnate, when he instructed people on how to live here on the earth. Jesus knew that we would be living here as mortals for millenniums before the kingdom, so he told us many things we needed to know about how to live in peace and safety in this wicked and sin-sick world. One of his disciples, John, wrote in 1 John 19, "And we know that we are of God, and listen to what he said of the world in which we live, and that the whole world lieth in wickedness." One thing Jesus did not tell his disciples was to make themselves and their children the victims and the prey of the wicked of the earth. Jesus is not that kind of a God. We have been fed a lot of nonsense about our Christ. Probably none of it is more dangerous than that which makes the Christian less of a man, less able to protect and defend his family and his nation. Certainly, turning Christ's people into effeminate pantywaists, whose first thought when danger threatens is to close their eyes and put their hands over their ears and see no evil or hear no evil, will lead a Christian nation to disaster. Our Pilgrim and Puritan forefathers brought their Bibles to America, and they brought the true worship of Jesus Christ to this wilderness. With Christianity, they also brought their guns, and they built forts for their communities, and they cast cannons for war, and they trained their young men for the militia and for the defense of home, family, and community. And someone says, oh, but what about the Quakers? They came in peace and with no arms, and they refused to use weapons against the Indians, even in the times of the Indian Wars. And I must answer from the statement of a colonist of that day who said, the Quakers have survived the savage war of the frontier with no arms. However, one wonders if they would have survived had they not been surrounded on all sides by fellow white men who had arms and used them to drive off the savage red men. The point is arguable, of course, but it is a point which must be considered. Next, we will go to the Old Testament, to the Law and to the Prophets, to see what it will teach us. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10 that these things, referring to the history of Israel, these things happen to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, or for our learning, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. While you are getting your Bible to read these Old Testament passages with me, I will offer our new literature packet for radio listeners. I am calling this the Christian Defense Packet, for that is the subject of our radio series and also the subject of the literature in the packet. Write me, Pastor Emery, at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the Christian Defense Packet. I will include in this packet the first three radio broadcasts in this series on a C90 cassette tape. Broadcast number 1, number 2, and number 3 of this series, titled The Bible and Arms, will be on a cassette tape in that packet. It is free for the asking. Perhaps you will want to hear these over again. Perhaps you will want to play them for a friend who might never have heard the New Testament passages where Jesus told his disciples to buy swords, or where Jesus warned that an armed man's property was protected, but if another disarmed him, then he would lose his property. Several weeks ago, as I was preparing this series, one of Arizona's top police officials at a news conference made the statement that he felt all citizens of Arizona should have guns and know how to use them. He said crime had increased so much, it was now impossible for the police to adequately protect the citizens. His statement was reported here in the newspapers and on television, and then about a day later, the anti-gun nuts began to cry out against this man, implying he was for lynching and for gun accidents, and warning that guns were dangerous in the homes and so on. The liberal furor was such that he had to come back on TV and attempt to clarify what he said. He repeated his remarks and then added, he did not believe citizens should just get guns. He meant they should get guns and get training in how to use them. The police chief of one of the Phoenix suburbs then joined with him, stating essentially the same thing. There is simply no way the police can protect a citizen from an armed burglar or a rapist. All the police can do is come to the scene of the crime after the crime has been committed and try to figure out how to catch the criminal. Meanwhile, of course, the citizen who has been attacked has already been robbed, raped, injured, and possibly killed. That could happen in a few moments, long before any policeman could arrive. If the victim lived in a small town or rural area, the law enforcement officials could be 10, 20, or perhaps 30 miles from the scene. That is what those Arizona police chiefs were thinking of when they said the police cannot protect the citizen. They would be safer if they obtained guns and took training in how to use them. Now, you would think that our God, Jesus Christ, has as much common sense as those two police officials, would you not? And, of course, he does. That's why he told his disciples to buy swords before they went on their mission. And that is why he gave that warning in Luke 11, and why we will find in the Old Testament that God provided for self-defense in Israel. Anyway, if you want the cassette tape of these three radio broadcasts, write and ask for the Christian Defense Packet. It will have a number of other items, including a most horrible story of a whole nation whose citizens were without arms, who were then conquered by the Red Communists and slaughtered by the tens of thousands. It is not pretty reading, but then the history of mankind on the earth never has been. John said, "The whole world lieth in wickedness." Other items in the free packet include some of the statistics on guns, on crime, on how guns in the hands and homes of citizens is a solid deterrence to the criminal. There is nothing the burglar and the criminal would like more than to be assured that the home or the business they wanted to rob did not have any guns with which the occupants could shoot them. Criminals are all for gun registration and for gun prohibition. It would make their wicked lives much safer. My address, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the free Christian Defense Packet. My address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Let us now turn to the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, and read a number of passages which will illustrate some of the points I have made. First, to the first murder in the Bible. Genesis 4, verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Brother killed brother. With a gun? No. Men have killed other men long before anyone invented firearms. You wouldn't think that was so from the propaganda of the disarmers. They try to convince us that killings are caused by the existence of guns. No gun in Adam's household, yet Cain slew his brother Abel. Was that the only act of violence before the invention of guns? Genesis 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Did you hear that? The earth was filled with violence. And yet this was millenniums before the invention of the handgun. After the assassination attempt on President Reagan, we immediately began to hear the phrase, America is a violent society, and they postulated that it was because we had too many guns available to the people. Well, bless you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, America is a Sunday picnic compared to the violence in Afghanistan, and the violence in Cambodia, and the violence in several nations in Africa, and the violence in the Soviet Union, or even the pro-communist United Nations. Admits that upwards of 17 million human beings are in slave camps with guards armed with machine guns who shoot anyone who attempts to escape before he dies. And that violence is carried out in most cases not by the people, but by the government which rules over the people. The same liberal prognosticators who bemoan America as a violent society and say we must get rid of our citizens' guns never utter one word of opposition when we sell the most sophisticated killers, such as planes, rockets, and bombs, to several scores of nations around the globe. And those nations don't keep those things under their pillows at night for protection. They launch them against fellow human beings and kill them. Why must we take the gun from the American citizen while it is all right to take his money to buy guns and give them to foreign nations? No, it is not the weapons which make violence. It is man himself. Genesis 6, God said, "It was the wickedness of man, and that the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually." Wicked men will use whatever weapons are available and will kill with them. He does not need a gun. Anyway, God destroyed these people with the flood, and of course, all was peace after that until guns came along. No, not quite. Right after the flood in Genesis 11, God had to scatter men across the earth to prevent more wickedness. You've read it in the story of the destruction of the Tower of Babel. Then from chapter 12 and on, the Bible is literally the story of one man's family, the descendants of Abraham. Abram is the central figure around which all Bible history and prophecy is built. For Abraham was the progenitor of the whole race of people that God calls my people Israel. Abraham is praised in both the Old Testament and in the New for believing God so totally that God counted to him for righteousness. And then God actually told Abraham that he, God, would bless Abraham's descendants because Abraham was such a believer in God. You might say that Abraham was the first Christian. In fact, I did a series of three radio broadcasts last year on just that subject, showing how the religion and faith of the saints of the Old Testament, beginning with Abraham, exactly match what we call Christianity today. I know it is rather common today to say the religion of the Israelites of the Old Testament is the religion of the Jews. However, that is not the case at all. All of the Old Testament saints believed in God's law and in the coming of Jesus Christ. The modern religion of Judaism rejects God's law and denies Jesus Christ. Nothing of it in the faith of Abraham. I am making that point, of course, so that you Christians know that your faith, your religion of Christianity, is the same faith and religion as Abraham. Since that is true, then if Christians are not to resort to violence or to physical force to defend themselves or their family, then we certainly wouldn't find Abraham using violence against anyone, would we? Let's see. Turn to Genesis 14. Verse 1 to verse 11 is the story of a war of some kings against other kings whom they killed, and in verse 12 we read, "And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed." Godly Abram's nephew has been carried away captive by soldiers. Verse 13, "And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, the brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them." Pastor Emery, do you mean that Father Abram, the man whose faith is said to be the fountain of the faith of all of Christendom, this man took weapons in his hands, armed his servants, and set out against the men who had kidnapped his nephew? Yes, Abram did. Let's read on. Verse 15 and 16. "And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobath, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people." Now, in case some might say, well, this was before Abraham had Isaac, and he therefore had not really become the progenitor of Christian Israel, and he was here acting after the flesh. Well, Let us read more in Genesis 14, and we'll see that the God of Abraham approved of what Abraham had done. Verse 17 through 20. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. My Christian friend, did you hear what Melchizedek said to Abram? This Abram, who had just completed an armed foray against some robbers and kidnappers, he had smitten them and rescued his neighbor's family. This Melchizedek blessed him. And verse 20, And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. Oh, why, even God Almighty himself was involved in this fracas. God delivered the wicked man into Abram's hand to be slain. Not only was Abram not acting against God's will in taking up arms against the wicked men, God Almighty operated on the side of Abram to deliver the wicked man into his hand. I am reminded of the story of the Christian in early America who had made somewhat of a reputation for himself as a fatalist. He always insisted that whatever happened had been ordained to happen and man could not change it. During a time of unrest among the Indians on the frontier, this man began carrying his gun with him wherever he went, and one day he was chided by a neighbor. My hands, I thought you were a fatalist. I thought you believed that if your time had come, then your time had come, and there was nothing you could do about it. If so, why in the world are you carrying that gun? And Hans replied, Well, I believe if my time has come, then my time has come. However, there is always the possibility that I should meet an Indian whose time has come. You fatalists out there would do well to consider that philosophy. It has some very good sense in it. Yes, Father Abram took up weapons to kill wicked men, and Melchizedek blessed him for it and told him that God Almighty had delivered the wicked men into his hands. This should be very significant to Christians, since we are told in the New Testament in the letter to the Hebrews, or the letter to the Israelites, that this Melchizedek was Jesus Christ. And we will read that next week, God willing, for I think it is of the utmost importance that Christians who have been deceived by the pacifistic or fatalistic doctrines of the modern church about Jesus Christ understand that this was, in a literal sense, the Jesus Christ whom they worship, who appeared to Abram immediately after Abram had used arms to right a wrong, and blessed him, and told him God had delivered those enemies into his hand. The true Jesus Christ of the Bible may in truth be somewhat different than the Jesus Christ who has been taught in some churches. I think it behooves us as Christians to worship the Jesus Christ of the Bible, not one created by doctrines of men. So meanwhile, write for the free radio packet called the Christian Defense Packet. Write me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Most of the time we offer just printed literature. However, this packet will include both printed literature and a C90 cassette of the first three broadcasts of this study series, The Bible and Arms. Since it is not only the liberal leftist politicians and news media which is trying to convince Americans they should not have weapons for self-defense, but many modernist and liberal churches also, I think you should have this cassette not only to listen to the broadcast again yourself, but perhaps to play to friends or relatives who do not know what God's holy word says to Christians about crime, weapons, self-defense, and so on. That will come to you free when you write and ask for the Christian Defense Packet. You'll also receive some printed materials giving some of the statistics I quoted in the last broadcast about crime, about how armed citizens have prevented crime, and so on. One poll revealed that upwards of 5 million Americans have at some time in their lives prevented the commission of a crime because they had a gun. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "He that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." Until next week when I return, God willing, to continue our study of the Bible and arms, this is Pastor Emery saying, goodbye, God bless you, read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.